Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Now, in this particular passage, we're going to study again about the subject on envy. I say again because, several months ago, we studied in Proverbs on envy. But now we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4 says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Well, who is able to stand before envy? We know that wrath is cruel and that anger is outrageous, so envy is worse than those. Well, when you read through your Bible, you get into Genesis chapter 37, and you know what you find? Joseph couldn't stand before envy. His brothers sold him into slavery down into Egypt and intended to be done with him completely. Now, God eventually used Joseph to take care of his brothers, but they succeeded in getting rid of him, at least temporarily, through their envy. Moses couldn't stand against the envy. In Psalm 106, verse 16, we find out that they envied Moses and they envied Aaron. Well, Moses was finally pushed to a point where he spoke unadvisedly with his lips and therefore died in the wilderness. And it was that constant pressure from the people that were agitating him about whether or not he should really be leading them out there in the wilderness that finally broke him down. In Isaiah chapter 11, we find out that Judah was envied by Israel. Judah couldn't stand in front of Israel. They sustained repeated attacks by Israel. Of course, it was Babylon, the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, that eventually wiped out Judah. But time and time again, Israel attacked as punishment from God because Israel envied Judah. What was it about Joseph that the brothers envied? Well, they envied his the love that his father had for him and the dreams that he had regarding the brethren bowing down to Joseph. What was it that they envied about Moses? They envied his leadership, the fact that he spoke face to face and mouth to mouth with God. What was it that they envied about Judah? It was the fact that the temple was down there and that God's dwelling was with Judah, and that Israel, who had turned away to the golden calves of Jeroboam, was suffering the consequences of God's wrath. Jesus couldn't stand before envy. In Matthew 27:18, Pilate discovered and knew that the reason Jesus Christ had been turned over to him was for envy. And Jesus Christ didn't stand in front of that envy or before that envy. He was crucified. Paul, in Acts chapter 13, verse 45, was envied by the Jews, and they stirred up a tumult against him in order to cause the preaching of the gospel to fall on deaf ears. They blasphemed, they contradicted anything to stop him from doing the work that he was doing amongst them. And eventually Paul made it down to Jerusalem and was eventually imprisoned, and they were trying to kill him. Why? They didn't like him. Why? He got the following, and he was right. They didn't like that. So, you know, you ask yourself the question, or this Bible shows you this thing about this envy. Who's able to stand before envy? Nobody that's envied is able to stand before it. When you read about envy through the Bible, you find out that there are a lot of things about it that are very, very detestable for Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find out that envy is a sign of a carnal church. It's the sign of a carnal church. When people within a congregation envy others in the congregation for their position, for their wealth, for their that they have, their blessings of God, their prosperity, their peace, whatever it is, the Bible shows you that a person that's like that is carnal. Paul said to the Corinthians, "For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Yeah, they were having problems because in this case, some of them said, well, we're Paul's converts. And the others said, well, we're Peter's converts, and he's closer to God than any of you. And some said, well, we're Apollos' converts, and he's more eloquent than any of these guys. And they started to pride themselves on who led them to the Lord or who they were following in doctrine. Carnal church. You know what else it is? Envy is a sign of a church lacking charity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, we see that charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. Well, then if you've got a problem with envy, or somebody you know has a problem with envy, then they're lacking charity. And when envy infiltrates a church, it is simply like a barometer. It's like a thermometer. It's giving you a reading. The trouble with the church is there's a lack of charity in the church. Envy, see, it's one that's very difficult because it's hard to see. Now, I've seen it. I mean, it's sometimes been so blatantly on somebody or in somebody that it was obvious to see it. And I'm telling you exactly what the Bible says is right. As long as that person proposed to stay in the company of other people that they envied, I'm telling you what, they were going to take them down. They did what they could with their lips to tell other people about the person they envied, to try to run them down, to try to destroy their fellowship with the church and destroy their fellowship with other people in the church. That's because they were carnal, they were lacking charity, and I'll tell you something else. When people have trouble with envy, the trouble is they're plagued by sin. 2 Corinthians 12:20. 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul says, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and then I should be found of you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." The trouble is sin, plague in the church. You got all kind of things going on inside the church involving stuff like this fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness. It will absolutely bring a church to the ground. And the plague of sin develops into envy. And that's simply, you know, just a matter of he's driving a Cadillac and I'm driving a Volkswagen and I'm mad at him. That's part of it. Or, you know, I don't like my wife, I like his wife. That's part of it. Or his children always get the best roles in the Christmas play. My children don't ever get the best roles in the Christmas play. That's part of it. He's a deacon, and I give more, and I'm more spiritual, and I don't get to be a deacon. That's part of it. He's closer friends to the pastor than I am, and I want to be a closer friend to the pastor than he is. That's part of it. All those kinds of things, envying position, envying reputation, envying opportunity, envying success, envying prosperity, envying appearance, whatever it may be, that church that starts letting that stuff go and is plaguing the church is plagued by sin. Something else you see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, envy is manifested in the flesh. It's one of the works of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And so when it infiltrates a church, then you know what's happened? The church is no longer spirit-filled. That's the problem. You may feel a spirit there when you go there, and you may have a great, what do they call these things, praise and worship service, and you may get all, you know, fuzzed up when you go there, and that kind of thing, and you may feel good for a while when you come out. But if there's envy in there, then you know what's happening? That you're not in a spirit-filled church. No matter what you feel, you may just be in a good pep rally. A spirit-filled church, the people don't envy each other. All right, in a church that is following man's wisdom, That's the sign. See, envy is the sign of a church that's following man's wisdom, an earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I realize I'm going fairly quickly through all of these things, but there's a reason for it, because the area that we want to concentrate on is, if you've got a problem with envy, how do you get over it, see? James chapter 3, verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." Got trouble with following man's wisdom. And let me tell you something. There are lots of churches today that are following man's wisdom. And listen, I can completely understand it, because the way churches are functioning, there's a lot that men have to do in order to keep them functioning. I mean, they're coming up with programs. Somebody's got to watch over the finances. Somebody's got to watch over the maintenance of the building and the grounds. Somebody's got to make sure that everything is legal as far as insurance is concerned, as far as the covenants and bylaws are concerned, that everything's being handled properly with the membership roles, that everything's being supervised properly with the children in the Sunday school classes, that there are all kinds of policies in place to prevent sexual misconduct or other kinds of injury that may come. I mean, there is all kinds of stuff that you got to look out for when you're involved in the ministry. And I can see how it's very easy for men to take counsel with men, to come up with the various ideas that the church needs to do, and leave God out of the thing completely. And when that happens, envy is going to creep in. And when envy creeps in, it is a sign that the church has gone to the earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. So, in envy, because nobody's able to stand before it, what we're seeing then is carnal, uncharitable, sinful, fleshy, earthly churches. And God doesn't have anything to do with it. If God was in it big time, the envy wouldn't be in it. So now we got a problem. And the first thing we got to figure out is, how do we get over it? How do we get over it? If you've got a problem with envy, how do you get over it? If you've got a problem with envy in your church, how do you get over it? How do you get past it? I mean, you got to get past it because you're not going to be able to survive, or somebody's going to get hurt. I mean, the Bible shows you clearly that men are not able to stand before envy. It's worse than anger, and it's worse than wrath. So you got to get out of it. But how? I mean, if it takes possession of you, it is a very difficult thing to break. All right, well, here are some instructions. Let's see, we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things to do to get rid of it. Here's the first one. Be honest. Romans 13:13. Be honest. That's the first thing. Be honest. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. All right, if there's envy present in the church, or envy present in your heart, or envy present between you and somebody else, you got to have to be honest. Normally what happens in envy when you become really angry with the other person and begin to try to take them down because you want what they have, that's what's going on with envy. You know, when you have envy because you are mad at another person for having something you don't have and are willing to do whatever it takes to get it. That's when you got envy. You have it because you're mad at another person for having something you don't have, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. You're willing to buy what they have in order to keep up with the Joneses. You're willing to slander them in order that people won't like them anymore based upon your perception. You're even willing to kill them. You wouldn't admit that, and you wouldn't do it, but that's what's down inside of your heart. You see, this envy thing is bad. So you know you got it if you got to keep keeping up with the Joneses. That's part of it. You know you got it if you, and that, of course, runs very closely to covetousness there too, but you got that problem. Or if you got to slander the person in order to, you know, blow the people away from them, get them to follow you, or you hate them so bad you'd kill them. And you got to get over it. And the first thing you got to do is you got to be honest. Paul said, let us walk honestly, not in strife and envying. All right, well then you've got to do something very few people can do. You've got to sit down, look at yourself in the mirror and say, now what's the problem here? Is that person that I'm mad at really such a bad cat, or am I feeling this feeling because I don't like the fact that the pastor likes him better than me, or he gets the committee appointments and I don't get them, or he's got more wealth than I do? And I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to be honest with yourself about a thing like that, because it then reveals that you personally have a weakness with something that you know is a gross sin. You wouldn't even admit it to your wife. You wouldn't admit it to your children that you have a problem with it. So you're going to have to be very, very honest with yourself and with the Lord and say, Lord, I have got a problem with envy against that person. He's smarter than I am, and I just detest me. I heard a preacher talking about that one time. He talked about how he envied another preacher because the preacher could preach so much better than he could. And I mean, he wanted to tear the guy up. He criticized everything the man did until he realized that the fault was not with the man. The fault was with his own heart. He had envy. I don't know if you can do it or not. That's a big task. That's a big task, to be to be honest enough with yourself to admit that you have some kind of a sin going on in your life that is a sign of a carnal Christian, an uncharitable Christian, a Christian plagued by sin, a man that's not spirit-filled, a man that's been following a sensual type of wisdom. Wow. You got to be some kind of a man or some kind of a woman with a lot of courage to be able to face yourself before God and say, you know something? I got this problem. Now, maybe what you need to do is simply pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God through the Scripture and through you know, His own witness in your life to show you whether you got a problem with it. And I'm not saying that you do, but you might, particularly if you have these other things going on in your heart. You got to get rid of it. The first way to do it is to be honest with yourself and with God. Second thing, count the cost. Count the cost of continuing in the envy if you don't do something about it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. It's very expensive, by the way. If it's worse than wrath and anger, you can be sure that it's going to be very expensive at some point in time. Now, the Bible says envy is the rottenness of the bones. It'll certainly take a toll on you here, but it takes a toll on you hereafter. The works of the flesh are discussed in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. But when you get down to verse 21, the first word in the sentence is envyings. And then Paul tells them, look, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The end of verse 21. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's a big difference between an inheritance and sonship. It won't take me long to describe this. You probably already know the difference. But when something like that shows up in the Bible, he's not telling you you can lose your salvation when he says you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Because there's a difference between being a son of God and being an heir of God. The son of God is a person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now you're a son of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, okay? You receive Jesus Christ, you're a son of God. An heir of God is somebody that will suffer with him and not cave into all this stuff that's going on with the flesh and so forth, okay? Because then what happens is when you start envying somebody, part of the problem is you are not content. You're not happy with what God's given you. You're not happy with your lot in life. You want his. And so when you start envying like that, you are then being led of the flesh and not of the spirit. And the Bible says you're going to lose your inheritance, and the kingdom of God shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you have a child, or let's say two children or more, but whatever, and one of the children is just great and the other one's just horrible, they're both your children. You can't change that. If they're both boys, they're both your sons. But one of them is such a good boy and really loves his dad and wants to do everything that you tell him to do. All right, you know what you do? You leave him your business. The other boy, wretched, miserable with money, hates you. He doesn't get an inheritance. They're both still children. So you can lose your inheritance over maintaining envy. So the second thing to do is count the cost. Do you really want to lose your inheritance in eternity by being able to have something that somebody else has down here? I don't think so. It doesn't take much of a smart man to figure that out. First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Here's the third thing to do to solve this problem with envy. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. What do you do? Lay it aside. Just lay it aside. I mean, deal with it, be done with it, and lay it aside. And then pick up the book. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, there you go. Lay it aside. You say it's pretty difficult to do. Yeah, but if you get in the book, it's not as tough. Because listen, when you get into the Bible, you quit comparing yourself with men. And you start looking toward heaven. You get your eyes off the earth and off of men in the earth. And you get your eyes on heaven. You see that? So the thing to do then is to lay the envy aside. It's never going to prosper you anyway. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. You eventually just try to destroy the person that you envy. It's got some terribly, terribly bad fruit. So why don't you just let it go? Just quit doing it. Now, I've had the opportunity being in the ministry to run across a number of people. I don't know how many, but a number of people that have had a problem with envy. And it is destructive to the person that has it. It is destructive to the target of their envy. And then the people are bitter and angry and clamorous till they die. So what do you do? Just lay it aside. Just give it up. Just quit. Pick up the Bible, start reading the Bible, and then in time, God will change your affections, and your affections will go off the earth onto heaven. It's a very simple thing. It seems like an oversimplification, but it is absolutely the truth. James chapter 4, here's the next one. James chapter 4, look at verses 4 through 8. Here's the fourth solution for envy. Break off with the world and submit yourself in humility to God. Or you say, that's pretty long. The first one was easy, be honest. Well, it is long, but the first one may be actually harder to do than the fourth one. Break off with the world and submit yourself in humility to God. Accept with contentment what he gives you. Look at James chapter 4. Verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now that's pretty direct, but he said, you know what the problem is? You're too close to the world, you're too far from God. So break off with the world and submit yourself in humility to God and accept with contentment what he gives you. You see, when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, he said the problem with people that won't just do what God tells them to do is that he's proud. He knows nothing. Noting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmivings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. In other words, if I can gain what you have, then I'm, you know, God's obviously blessed me. But godliness, watch it, with contentment is great gain. So break off with the world, submit yourself in humility to God, and be content with what he gives you. That's the fourth thing. I'll give you a quick review, and then we'll give you three more. Be honest. If you got a trouble with envy, admit it. Then count the cost. By remaining envious, you're going to lose your inheritance in heaven. Lay it aside and pick up the book so your affections change. Break off with the world because that's where the trouble comes from. Submit yourself in humility to God. And then this, James 3, verses 16 to 18. Reject earthly wisdom and seek the wisdom of God. I mean, that's very closely associated with the one in James chapter 4, But the point is, you don't need to go to the bookstore right now if you've got a problem with envy and start reading up on psychologists that are selling their books in Christian bookstores to find out how to deal with envy. Reject the earthly wisdom. Look, James chapter 3, verse 16 says, or verse 17 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now you need some of that. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You need some God's wisdom. And I'll tell you, far too often when people find themselves in trouble with a particular sin in life, they want to run right to the Christian bookstore. And hey, I'm not trying to cut into their profits. And find out what man has to say about God's words regarding these matters. Why don't you just get in the Bible and get the wisdom directly from God and let him deal with the sin that you have in your life? Reject the earthly wisdom and seek the wisdom from God. Far too many churches these days are following counseling. Far too many churches these days are following man's wisdom, and the men are being trained in the seminaries to come out with all the right business tools and right all the right preaching tools and all the right man-made tools. You know, sometimes when you get into a deep-rooted sin like envy, you just need to get on your face before God, get wisdom from the Holy Spirit of God, and follow that wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 gives you the sixth thing to do. Follow charity. Follow after charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. In other words, you got to start learning to love, because envy always results in hatred and malice and evil surmisings and clamorous speaking and all the rest of that stuff. You need to just let it go. Charity envieth not, so follow after charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It's very simple. Start to learn to love those that you have despised for the things that they had. You say, that's hard. God is love. If God's in your heart and this book is full of love, you get the Bible in your heart, the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, God in your heart, and you start following those that are there. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, then you don't have to trust yourself to develop that love. Allow God to do that in you. But of course, it's going to involve, according to Romans, it's going to involve tribulation and patience and experience and hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So you got to learn to love, man. And then finally this, get saved. I mean, that may be the problem. There are people who've been listening to this broadcast that have gotten saved, listening to the broadcast and listening to the preachers on the radio. It's not right for us to assume that just because you're listening to this broadcast that you're saved. It's not right for us to assume that because you have a problem with envy that you're lost. You know your condition, but if you're not saved and you're dealing with envy, you're never going to get the problem fixed if you're not saved. You have got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you can start to go away from it. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, Paul's writing to Titus, and he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." There you go. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, you know, then these things got fixed up. What happened is, that's the way Paul was before he got saved. After he got saved, that changed. So get saved. It's simple enough. Salvation is not just about having a home in heaven and eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly those are the great parts. Salvation has a lot to do with what goes on in your life down here. And if you're having a problem with envy and you can't shake it, the thing to do is evaluate your salvation. And if you're not in the faith, you need to get saved. Now look, the Bible says who can stand before envy, and the answer is nobody. Nobody that ever faced it did. And it's a condition that is terrible to have in your own life, and the only way to get over it is to do these seven things according to the Bible. First, be honest. Secondly, count the cost. It's not worth it. Lay it aside and pick up the book. Break off with the world, submit yourself in humility to God. Reject earthly wisdom and seek the wisdom that comes from God, and then you won't have that envy anymore. Follow after charity and get saved. And that's our prayer, that you'll do those things and be done with the envy. Well, you'll be greatly relieved too, I can assure you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.